It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
What would you give us a grade for our show for this year?
A plus. I'm on the road driving back and forth, and I just love it. So it's something that I'll continue listening to.
If Dougie Gilmore can give us an A-plus, everyone else can.
That's we are going to go to the CAF and get some pea soup to celebrate.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, you had one job yesterday.
Yeah?
I had to go see a condo downtown, and I had to be on time. It was 7:30. Like, obviously you couldn't really disguise it because we're on TV, but
we got you.
I left 10 minutes early, and I get in my car, and you go, yeah, he doesn't like the temperature, he just left. Couldn't you say I went to see a condo?
No, it sounded better.
What's wrong with you?
Here's the best
thing. You made me look like an a-hole.
Couldn't you have waited 10 minutes to go see the condo?
No, because the people had kids, and I had to get into the condo at a certain time.
That's garbage. I didn't believe it when you said it. I still don't believe that. You're telling me they're trying to sell a condo that
they're
I'm guessing
condo
is probably worth a decent penny.
Pretty good.
Five grand a month.
And they can't wait until 7:40? 7:40. Like, explain that to me.
I'm following instructions from my real estate agent. He goes, you got to be here by 7:30. They have a small kid, and the kid's got to go to bed.
Well,
that's
garbage.
And I don't like to, by the way, it was weird. I walk in, and they're all there.
So.
And I'm looking at their family. The grandparents were there. They were just finishing dinner. Their junk was all over the place.
Really?
So you should clean up your house if you're staging it or showing it. That's an embarrassment.
They did not.
And I don't think you should be at home either. You've got to leave.
You've got to leave.
I could understand that. We're going to dust off until 7:30, but we got to bring the kid home at that point. You're not sitting there going through. My brother's a house inspector. He's told me some horrifying stories where he's walking through the house. You throw the bathroom door open. There's a guy taking a dump there.
Just leaving a coiler.
You wouldn't let somebody know that, hey, they're behind this door. Is somebody
no
who's
guy.
Going to work.
That was just shaving.
Like he said, he throws open the door because when you first walk in the house, like you say, anybody, you assume nobody's home.
It's got to be a worst nightmare situation. Like we have someone that will come by the house every once in a while to clean the house. And I never know what day, I never know what time. And sometimes, like, it's never happened to me before.
Right.
But I know it's going to happen. She's going to come bombing in, and I'm going to be hairy done, or I'm going to, I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
You're just shaving.
I will be in a very difficult position. I can just picture it. I know it's going to happen.
What if you're just in a roasted turkey position with the big screen on Brazzers? Like, you are in major trouble.
I don't know how to handle it. I mean, I guess I'll find out if it ever happens. But, yeah, I know. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah. You've got Brandy Love, like, in full scene.
What's the name of that?
Down, and she just wheels down with a vacuum.
What's the name of the wrestler that had Brandy Love on his Christmas tree? Remember the picture?
That was Razor Ramon. Yeah, Razor Ramon.
Just got the Christmas tree up, and there's just porn cooking on the background.
It actually was Brandy Love.
Yeah, that's
in one
the
of her award-winning scenes.
Oh,
yeah, it's you would think, though, if you're putting your house on the market, like, you would understand.
Clean it up.
People could come by at any time. Like, that's the thing, though. You leave a lockbox out there, and it's open for the public. You never know when people are going to roll through your house.
We just went through it, Steph and I. We had to clean it up. Our realtor walked through our house and said, you need to simplify that. You got to move the toys. You got to do this. And because he wants to sell the house, or he wants to maximize the value of it.
So is he basically saying your interior design is hot garbage and we can't sell this?
No, he really liked our house, but he didn't like the fact that our kid have multiple playrooms throughout the house because she just throws toys everywhere.
Right. My basement is actually a tornado.
Yeah.
See, like the scene of a tornado.
Yeah, just everywhere.
My daughter has stuff. It's everywhere.
But ours was in the living room, the dining room, the family room.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was everywhere.
Oh, I'm in the same boat.
You had to consolidate, and that's what we did. But it is. it's all about staging the presentation. That would be a little bit weird, walking through the house and the whole family's there. Like, oh,
well, you also want to be honest. Like, I don't like this, or I guess I could live with that.
I'd like to change the paint. I'd like to do anything, but they're just sitting there looking at you, and it's like, no.
So what happened? Are you going to take it or no?
Maybe.
It's a possibility.
Anything booked for like 6:15 this afternoon? You got to dust off around 5:30.
No, but if I did, I would leave. I told you.
Really?
I would.
You said you did.
Or,
no, we're not done. We're not done.
We've got four more shows.
By the way, I don't have any more bookings. But if I did and I had to get there, I would have to leave.
What about the bookings from 4 to 7 Monday through Friday every single day?
You've got a booking, man.
Isn't that something that you have locked in?
I told you yesterday. You cannot look at me on Friday and say you were really bad this week. Because I'm gone. I don't care.
I know you're gone, but the show will continue. The band will keep playing.
I'm not on it.
You will be in September. I'm on it. I'm still going to be kicking around throughout the summer.
We'll keep this thing cooking until Friday, and I won't do any more bookings for showings.
Try to do me that favor if you can.
But he'd
be very nice of you.
He's trying to negotiate with you.
I left, honestly, for 4 minutes. Not even 3 minutes.
Oh, I know. It's a really short segment.
I know, and you could have like covered it up. And you
and I have worked many shows together. Have I ever left early?
You?
Yeah.
You can't.
Exactly. Why can I not, but you can roll out?
You're the host. There's a big difference, man.
Okay.
Taddy always says the host steers the show, navigates the show.
Okay.
Ins, outs.
Where do we want to navigate to first? Do we want to talk about Monday Night Raw last night?
This guy took
his
shirt off.
I'm not doing it. Come on.
Did you see LeVar Ball with no shirt on Monday Night Raw last night? Admit it. The guy was more jacked than you thought he was.
I actually, yeah.
He's chiseled.
He's put together.
I gotta give him credit.
50?
He's probably mid-40s, late-40s.
Oh, okay. Then that's.
I mean, Lonzo's 19, so I don't know. Let's say he had kids when he was in his mid-20s, late-20s.
I'll be 46 soon. This guy looks 55.
All right. Let's say he's 50.
I'm gonna have to Google that.
Let's be honest. That was kind of inspiring last night.
He did look.
I gotta give the guy credit. Shirt off. I was not expecting shirt off.
And abs.
And he was kind of chiseled.
Yeah, he had abs.
You gotta give credit to LeVar Ball.
I agree, but I didn't tune into it. All I wanted to do was, he's 48. He's 48. He's coming 49. Looks pretty good.
Very good for 48.
I just wanted to see, and I followed it on Twitter. I thought, Drake, we got to get into that.
I thought he did a great job.
I thought he did a very good job.
And listen,
he addressed him being a jock sniffer, too.
We'll play that clip in just a moment, but the comparing between the NBA and NHL...
It's not even close.
It's not even close. I don't think we have to go down that road. It's not about hammering on the NHL. But what was noticeable last night is the NBA and TNT, they spent a lot of money. Drake costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's not doing that for free. Will Ferrell costs a lot of money. Nicki Minaj, like, they spent a lot of money.
Yeah, they did.
And
I think they paid Drake? Like, what's your guess? I'm thinking like 500 grand.
Yeah, 250 to 500.
I think at least 250. At least that's 250.
At least.
He's Drake, man. He's a legitimate superstar.
And that's a lot of work and prep. Like, this guy didn't show up and read off a prompter. Like, he had to prep. Like, I thought he did a really good job. And, yes, he had some real good jokes written, but his delivery was good. Like, he looked comfortable up there. That's a big, big-time job. Like, I don't think...
He's a legit talent, man. We might goof on him from time to time. He's legitimately very talented.
Absolutely. But I think he... Dollars wise, at least 250, probably 500 or more.
I think you're probably right. I think it may have cost them 100 grand to do the Will Ferrell skit. To get Will Ferrell to get out of bed cost you 100 grand. I would think at least
his appearance fee would have been a big chunk there. He doesn't get out of bed for anything.
And the NHL maybe paid what, 50 grand for their host?
No, maybe a little more. I mean, it's
apples to oranges.
You're right,
and the product, it was, because you know what we also talked about, because you and I, we've had this argument. Can you make it funny? Drake made it funny. You know why? Because he was ruthless. The guy made a LeBron James being bald joke. That's LeBron James, the king of the basketball world, goofing on him for being bald. Do you think any host is going to say anything about Crosby? Yeah. No, because you're not allowed to. Everyone's got to be respectful all the time. And what you end up getting is corny jokes.
But that's my point. If it can't be funny, don't make it funny. Announce the winners and move on.
But Drake proved it can be funny if
that's
you loosen up.
That's a totally different dynamic and a totally different atmosphere and everything.
Don't you think that's a problem and the NHL could probably loosen up a little bit?
But they won't. Can you imagine the silence if that guy had a teed off on Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid? Everyone would have been like, oh.
Well, but
that's not the culture, so don't make it your culture.
You're right.
And I told you that. Just announce the award winners, have it black tie, and be done with it. It's not going to be funny like that. It never will be. They've tried it, and it's garbage.
But they've
and
tried
it still is garbage.
They've tried it with no budget and with guys who just aren't funny.
Well, you're right.
No
if
writers.
You want to go down that route, then you got to spend the money to get the big time people in there. But I'm with if we're sitting here comparing, don't even be compared to. Go the NHL just does it this way. It's black tie, it's formal, it's classy, because that's what people for the most part want. Like when I won an award, it was here in Toronto. And I think McLean hosted it, and it was outstanding. Like it was just a real nice night, like a classy.
Just an award show. Ceremony. It's not a sideshow, so don't make it one. You can never do it. It'll never be funny, so don't do it.
And I don't think people actually that would be interesting. Would people not tune in if it was just a classy award show, or are you're tuning in trying to see if it's funny? Like,
I think. They would get probably the same amount of viewers because I don't think people are showing up to the NHL Awards thinking it's going to be funny because there's enough material since they've gone to Vegas to suggest it won't be.
Right.
It's going to be difficult to watch. But I think the conversation that we should be having here
right.
is who are you trying to humor? Who are you trying to please? You guys are saying you got to concern yourself with the room being uncomfortable that Crosby gets chirped. The NBA last night, or Drake anyway,
right.
he didn't care what LeBron thought. He was thinking about the guy sitting on his couch at home while he laughed.
And howling, exactly.
And that is my point. Who cares if Crosby doesn't laugh? Then get out of the room, man. Then
well,
leave.
You're
because
right.
we're here to have a good time.
You want to be
loosen
progressive?
Up.
I think the NHL is trying to somewhat be a little bit progressive. So, to your point, Brian, go all in. Like, hire Ricky Gervais or somebody of that.
Hire the SNL
magnitude.
Writers and say, you got 6 months, write some great jokes.
Do you know who I think ruined it, though? Cuba. Wasn't he bombed a couple years ago?
A disaster.
And was it at the award
Cuba
show?
Gooding Jr.?
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr.
I don't remember.
He was
I thought he got
up
and,
up
you know, had been overserved and and got up and was firing darts and kind of all over the map. Remember, he swore and people was like, what's going on here? I think Cuba was one of the guys that kind of got
they,
them
they wanted
maybe
to scale it back,
back after that.
Well, let's hear Drake's joke about LeBron and his hair last night.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
LeBron James recently went bald, and social media had an absolute. Oh, sorry, this is a joke from 2007. We're gonna keep it. We're gonna keep it rolling.
Like, and you could see in the crowd, they're like, "Whoa, man!" But he's right. I mean, LeBron 10 years ago was going bald.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's a very funny joke. All right, this one on Draymond Green. Is this about the podcast? All right, let's see. This was pretty ruthless because yeah. Draymond Green's got a podcast out, and you know he's probably hoping for some promotion and
traction.
Get people to tune in, and Drake did not endorse it last night.
Draymond Green stopped kicking people in the groin and moved on to something much worse, his own podcast. It's a tough listen.
Like, that's I thought very that was one, smart
I didn't
and
know
funny.
He took a shot at, but he said something about coach, and he said, a player who flew there in coach.
Right, he's talking about Kenny Smith, I think.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and he said the Brooklyn Nets are trying to get verified tonight, like, which is brilliant, man. It really is. I thought it was really well done last night.
But you know what? He's got good delivery. You know what that had? Good writers. Like, they were writing those jokes.
Yeah, and the skits.
Legitimately,
the skits
like
I have
comedians.
No time for. I'm sorry. I don't have time for the skits. You want to be funny on stage? The skits... Sorry. I thought they were stupid.
You didn't think the Steph Curry, Ayesha Curry,
no.
at the very least was kind of like, ooh, man, it was risque. You could, like, they were taking a run at the guy's wife owning him on national TV.
It's
you're not going down that road.
He just
you're
doesn't
Mr.
Like
Serious.
The skits.
I'm not you know I'm an idiot, but I don't think that's funny. I just like it just seems like such a stretch. Like the skit, it's like no. You can wrap this thing up in an hour and get it over with.
Well, it was 2 hours of TV. I mean, it is a TV event. I think the fact that they had the TNT crew up there was smart, too, because Barkley had some funny lines. Like, they're chirping teams. They're chirping players.
Fun up there.
It just, I thought it was, that's an award show that will have success in the future. And, you know, I think other leagues can probably take a page out of that. What I will say quickly on the LeVar Ball Raw stuff.
Yeah.
WWE is brilliant because the NBA awards started at 9 p.m. They had him come out at like 8:58, like just before the award show started. Get Twitter buzzing. You got to tune into Raw to see this. And I'm sure the NBA is thinking, you're trying to steal our limelight. You're not even in the league yet. You're a guy's dad who hasn't played a game.
Right.
And NBA fans, I'm sure, were kind of conflicted. They're like, I kind of want to see what these guys are going to do on Raw. And they didn't bring him out at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Like 8:58, 2 minutes before the award show started.
So it is a smart move.
That was the best Will Ferrell thing, the handshake, the LeVar Ball. Let's shake hands. That'll be $10 million, please.
Yeah, exactly. And Will Ferrell, I mean, that costs a pretty penny, I would think.
Yeah.
Steve Phillips will join us in about 15 minutes. Jay's News, Jason Grilley has been designated for assignment.
That's tough, man. I know we've kind of... The results are what they are. You got to kind of move past the good guy thing and how much you like the guy and him chanting and cheering on the crowd. At the end of the day, you can't get the job done.
Yeah.
You're leaving.
It's business, right? And I would think this might be the end of the road, too. I'm sure that is what is really going to be difficult for him to handle. Is this isn't a 25-year-old going down and they're saying, work on your mechanics or find your confidence again. This is them saying... I think it's passed you by.
Right.
And it was just a matter of time. I'm a little bit surprised by the timing because of Osuna and what he's going through with anxiety, and they're uncertain about, you know, how available he'll be with them or to them in the relatively near future. But he's got a near 7 ERA.
Yeah.
Every time he's on the mound, you're really concerned. He's getting lit up.
It's not good, and you hope maybe he goes and has a couple good starts down there, and they're like, yeah, we'll bring him back up. But
that's tough for a vet to accept, Ben.
You're right. He's got to get paid, too. That's the thing. Because if he decides just to retire or cash it in, now he's leaving money on the table.
That's probably his mindset. I want to finish this out, get paid, and see you later.
He's 40 years old. So, I mean, realistically, how surprising is this? You know, they brought him over last year from Atlanta, and he gave them all you could ask for.
Yeah.
He was big. He really solidified the back end of the bullpen last year. They picked up his option. Like, let's bring him back. They had high hopes. They've been advertising him as kind of a, you know, veteran face of the bullpen. He's been in some commercials. Well, I think they're giving out things on Father's Day, like something grill-related.
Yeah.
And the grilly puns will be just... Well, mind-numming.
It's unfortunate because I think last year, don't you feel like he earned them to pick up the contract?
Absolutely.
And he plays with a lot of fire. He's a passionate guy.
Mm-hmm.
Real likable person. Hasn't had a great season. It's unfortunate.
Yep.
But in a position where they need some stability, he hasn't been stable.
He hasn't been able to give it to him. Steve Phillips will join us. We'll get his take on Jason Grilley, where he goes from here with his career, what kind of options in the bullpen can maybe pick up where he left off, and we'll tee up a big stretch for them. Baltimore in town tonight. Joe Biagini on the mound to kick off this series for the Jays. So Phillips will join us later in the hour. Some NHL news and notes. They had a July 1st, 4 or 5 days out. Not the biggest names in the world available via free agency.
Well, Finn.
But
hang up your phone till July 15th.
You don't see much going on?
No, if you're smart, that's what you do.
Why do you say that?
Price down?
Because everybody that jumps at players of this caliber on July 1st, you're making big mistakes. Dave Naylor always says it. If I was a GM, I'd hang up my phone till July 15th, still see what's out there, and then make an assessment. People that jump the gun make big-time mistakes. You want to pay a guy like Shattenkirk big money for a long-term deal? You're going to regret it.
Don't you think it's going to happen, though?
Somebody's going to do it.
I would think it'll happen by like 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll probably be the Rangers, too.
We're hoping.
And then the Rangers will be in the same spot as they always are.
Yeah.
In 3 or 4 years, they're like, okay, we got to buy this guy out.
Yeah. You're now Scott Gomez.
Yeah, or Dan Girardi. He'll be the next Dan Girardi, more than likely. So we'll keep you updated on what is going on out there, some rumors, some reports. Ray's coming up just after 5. Bobby Mack will join us at 6:20. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Steve Phillips coming up, teeing up this series with Baltimore in town. Jason Grilley designated for assignment. The pun's out of control. Someone texting in saying he's just over-grilled. I'm not in the mood for that.
No,
I mean, we're not doing grilled puns today. I'll leave that for the front page of the Sun tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that'll be... What do you think the cover will be?
Grilled, something to do with grilled or barbecued or, yeah, overcooked or Grillies overcooked. Although I don't even know if it's a big enough story. I mean, it's not like they're sending a superstar down. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, Jason Grilley's been
here
for a short
burnt
time.
Crust.
Should we actually just do puns all afternoon? Yeah, maybe we will actually.
Once a segment, we've got to come up with a Jason Grilley pun in honor of the ridiculous puns that'll be out there on a guy who's had a tough year and struggling. But I like the guy. I liked him.
He seems like the kind of guy you want in the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
And if he's pitching well, you want on the mound. The problem is you can't have the former without the latter. Doesn't exactly. matter if you're the greatest guy in the world. If you can't pitch, you're out. No, I mean, that's just
burnt
the way it goes.
Toast.
Does the name...
This is what it's going to be. You're toast.
You think so? Although toast and grilled,
yeah,
I don't know if they combine. Like,
you know,
it's
what?
Got something.
You're toast. Like, you're done, you're gone.
What about grilled cheese?
Barbecue done.
What is grilled cheese? That's his name.
Steph fed me that one. I'll throw Steph right under the bus.
Yeah, just throw her under
that
the bus.
Garbage.
That's ridiculous.
Grilled cheese. Well, something, you know, revolving around that.
But believe me, we're going to get some creative ones sent in
sure.
to us.
If you get creative, send them our way. Does the name Simon Smith ring a bell to you?
No.
No.
53-year-old gentleman from Reading, England, who got bust this afternoon.
And caught up and went to the bar.
Have you seen this video? I know you have. You retweeted this. Noodles, did you actually watch it?
Somebody sent it to me. I didn't open it.
This guy gets run over by a bus and gets up and goes into the bar.
I've never seen anything like this.
Why am I laughing?
It's because he's okay.
I'm watching it. He just gets dusted.
Like, he gets bust.
Supposed to be dead. Like,
actually shocking that the guy's alive, let alone standing and walking into the pub. But this video is all over Twitter right now. It's going to be all over Instagram, all over Facebook. It is shocking to me that this guy is alive. But
and
he
also seems like having no interest and suing the bus driver or
no,
anything.
Not even close.
He's like, I'm all right. I had a drink. I'm good.
He was so thirsty.
Did they interview him?
Like, so thirsty. And the name of the bar?
What was it?
The Purple Turtle.
The Purple Turtle.
This guy's going down to the Turtle for a pint, and he gets bussed by the worst bus driver on earth.
Where was that guy going?
I don't even know. You got to see the video. We'll tweet this out.
I'm watching it. It is ridiculous.
Okay, Steph, tweet that out at Overdrive 1050. We'll all retweet this. Oh, you already have. This is going to be everywhere. Like, this guy will be on CNN by the time I get home. Anderson Cooper will be interviewing this guy.
He should be dead.
It's shocking how hard he gets hit. And he gets up and walks right into the pub.
I can't believe what I'm watching.
Dust himself off. Doesn't check in on the bus, isn't thinking about suing the bus company or fighting the bus driver.
It says Simon Smith was covered in scrapes and bruises after the incident on Saturday. Like, this guy got dusted. You imagine?
He ran over by a bus and had no problems.
That's our kind of guy.
He is.
We need to speak to him.
Mm-hmm. We should try to track him down. Steph, if you can get him on by the end of the week.
We had Tornado Guy. This guy makes Tornado Guy look like nothing.
Look like the softest human being on earth. It's
that
so true.
It's insane.
Trucked and gets up and walks right into the pub.
Like, it was almost like the bus pushed him towards the pub. He's like, oh, I'm here now. I might as well walk it off.
Right. Like, thank you for the lift.
This is the because he survived, it's the greatest video ever. That bus driver, I don't know what he was doing. He runs into the pole, too.
He's so lucky, because if he killed that guy, it's a completely different story. There's nothing funny about the way the bus he drove.
He's in for a world of hurt.
But he's gone anyway, you would think. Like, unless the brakes cut out and he's got an alibi.
Somebody was fighting him on the bus or something. Like,
right. Like, he was driving. He's out of control. But
this guy got up and just walked it off.
Dust off his pants and walks right into the Purple Turtle for some daytime pints. It's still bright out.
Like, that looked like it was high noon.
The man was thirsty.
On a Tuesday.
This is not 11 o'clock in the morning.
No, this cat was getting after it at the turtle. All right, they're all pouring in. His goose is grilled.
Oh, that's a good one. Is there any...
The cheese is spoiled, but that doesn't work. You got to have grilled in there. This grilly is out of propane.
Ooh,
that one's not bad.
That's a good one.
Over-grilled. I don't know. Anyway, Steve Phillips will join us, get his take on grilly being designated for assignment, see where the Jays go from here, and tee up the series with Baltimore in town. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. I just can't stop watching this video, this guy getting bussed in Reading, England.
I've watched it 30 times in a row.
I can't believe he gets up and walks right into the pub. It's crazy.
I'm kind of thinking he's shattered when he gets hit. Because people that are shattered like that,
they don't die. No.
they don't die.
They never do.
You hear stories about, like, you're drunk and fall
science.
Out of a... You fall
that
out of a...
ESPN science for you.
Seriously.
If you're creamed like that, you don't die. You can get hit by a bus.
Fall out of a third-story window.
That guy's stone sober with a Starbucks in his hand. He's dead.
Yeah.
His Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Steve, did you know if you drink, you can never die? Were you aware of that?
I've heard of that. I have not experienced it multiple lives myself, but I've heard other people have. And, you know, I think some part of it is you almost get so relaxed that you bounce around and you don't tighten up where things break as much. So I don't really want to figure it out, but I have heard that that is true.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a test dummy on that theory.
Just like getting hit in hockey. People used to say if you're close to the boards, just kind of relax your body and you can absorb the hit. If you tense up, you're blowing out your shoulder, you're blowing out your neck, you're blowing out your knee.
Well,
this guy who got run over by a bus, he's very relaxed. That's all I'm going to say.
And that was like the Scott Stevens of buses, too,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Like, that bus was coming across the middle.
That's Lawrence Taylor hitting him from behind.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Steve, we were talking about Jason Grilly, and there's a bunch of stories kicking around town right now. Obviously, the fact that Baltimore's here, and this is a big series, and then they've got Boston, they're at the Yankees, and then four against Houston next week. But Jason Grilly designated for assignment.
Steve, have you ever kind of missed on a guy where it's like an aging veteran and you give him that one more year and you kind of watch it the next year and you're like, God, I wish I didn't do that?
Yeah, that's why I'm a baseball analyst at Insider right now. So the answer to that's absolutely yes. But most teams have. And you know, the bullpen is the area where general managers make their most mistakes because it's so hard to quantify the impact of innings, appearances, how many times the guy warmed up, sat down. How many times he's done it in his career, and at some point, you know, you get diminishing returns. And, you know, Grilly was a guy that when they picked him up last year was struggling in Atlanta, and he kind of turned his fate of the season around. It was a big part of their bullpen, and completely understand why they exercised the option and brought him back. But I'm also not surprised because this stuff happens with bullpens all over the place. And those teams that have a great bullpen one year, they bring back the same cast of characters the next year, and the bullpen struggles. And everybody's like, well, how come you didn't know? It's because it is the toughest thing to quantify is the impact and the lingering effect of all of that on a pitching staff and certainly on a reliever. And Grilly's got a lot of wear and tear there. And look, don't be surprised if he gets designated for assignment. They probably aren't going to trade him. He'll get released. He'll go somewhere. He's going to be a functional member of somebody's bullpen. Because that's just kind of what happens sometimes. That's what happened last year when he came to Toronto. The Braves kind of looked at it and said, wait a minute, why don't you do that for us? By the same token, that may be exactly what ends up happening this year. Grilly's one of those guys that he's got nine lives. And he doesn't have to drink to do it, but he's got nine lives. He's been around for a long time, and he's been through this before.
It must be more difficult seeing him exit, you know, the ballpark when he's kind of that character guy. He seemed very well liked. The fans loved him. I mean, everybody in baseball or in sports has got a different personality. When you got a kind of a veteran guy like that that everybody loves, it must be that much more difficult, no?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as an executive, I always try not to get too close to the players because you have to make the decision that's right from a personnel perspective, mm-hmm. not from a personal perspective. And, you know, those guys that you like, when it's the end of their career or the end of the road with you, it's hard. It really is a hard conversation. But Grilly's been around for a long time. He's had a really nice career. He's got a great family. He's, you know, I talked in the spring training, and when I was there earlier in the year, he's got a great perspective about everything. And he's going to ride it as long as he possibly can in a career. And when it's over, he is such a personable guy that I think there's probably a place for him to the media somewhere in some outlet. Like, he pitched in a lot of different places, and therefore he's got a lot of connections with different teams. He's going to do just fine. We don't have to feel sorry for him. But it is always a tough conversation when you really like the player.
Steve, do you think he's done? I mean, with the Blue Jays organization at the major league level, or are they trying to get a little bit of life out of him by sending him down, or is it kind of the end of the road? They've had enough.
Yeah, my guess is to how this plays itself out. He's designated for assignment, so they have 7 to 10 days to trade, release him, or outright him. He's not going to accept an outright to go to AAA. So he'll get his release. He'll shop himself around. Doesn't mean that he wouldn't go back to AAA for some period of time, but he'll only do that once you exhaust every major league opportunity. And I'm not going to be surprised. Everybody's looking for bullpen help. We saw, like, Francisco Rodriguez was released from the Detroit Tigers, and now the Washington Nationals have signed him and brought him in to take a look at him. They're desperate in their bullpen, and there's always going to be somebody out there that thinks they can fix somebody, they're smarter than somebody, or, you know, let's catch lightning in a bottle, bring a guy in, and what's the difference? If it doesn't work, well, we'll just release him. Because right now, any team that signs him will pay the minimum salary, and the Jays are on the hook for the rest of that salary that's guaranteed for the year. So he's a pretty nice option for teams out there because there is such a little risk on the other end.
With Steve Phillips, the Jays back in action tonight, Baltimore in town, and Joe Biagini's on the mound. I'm curious to find out how Biagini's role with this team works out going forward, because Sanchez is making, I believe, a rehab start, if not today, certainly this week. Hopefully he returns between now and the next couple of weeks. If and when that happens, I think the guy that will be circled will be Biagini in terms of how they decide to utilize him. Clearly they like him. I think they should like him. But do you see him as a long-term option in the rotation, or do you think he's the guy they might look at as back in the bullpen, maybe taking over where Grilly was hopefully going to leave off?
Yeah, my guess is that he's, you know, understanding how they think with Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, and John Gibbons. Also, you know, when you put together a team, having that sort of versatility, that guy that can go back and forth. I mean, the only two options they really have are Liriano and Biagini going into the bullpen. And they can leave Biagini in the rotation. And the question is, you know, do they need Liriano as a third left-hander out there as an option, or are they better served with Liriano in the rotation? Now, I personally would put Biagini back in the bullpen, but, you know, there's speculation that the Jays are kicking tires, looking around for some of the pitching out there, and who knows, Biagini may be a tip in a deal like that, that if you're going to land a starting pitcher of some veteran level, and, you know, there's some speculation around Sonny Gray, that the Jays are one of a number of teams looking out there, and the Jays, you know, they don't have the deepest farm system, that a guy like Biagini, who's, you know, cost contained right now because he's not arbitration eligible, he's not anywhere near free agency, they can control him for a number of years, and he could be a starter and or, you know, important reliever, he may be a chip that could be out there. So I think it's one that they've got a lot of options as to which direction they go. It could end up that Liriano and Biagini end up in the rotation if they go shopping and make a deal to bring in another starting pitcher. But right now, if I'm them, I'm the Jays, I'm really looking at, let's see what we look like when we're healthy, and I wouldn't mind adding offense in left field and trying to, you know, add some supplement to this lineup when it's all said and done.
How would you feel about Sonny Gray as an option here?
You know, here's the thing. I like Sonny Gray. I don't love him. And there are a lot of teams and people who love him. And so I would always be on the short end of any deal. Somebody's always going to be willing to pay more than I would for Sonny Gray. I just don't think he's the same guy that we saw a couple of years ago. He's got a really good curveball, but, you know, it's a take pitch a lot of times out of his hand, where if you recognize it, you just don't swing at it until you get two strikes, because it's a pitch that a lot of times he starts in the zone and breaks it out of the zone and turns into a ball. And his fastball is, you know, 93 to 95, but it's not overpowering. And he's a slight guy, and he's had arm injuries and health history in the past. So I don't. That's not the kind of guy I'm willing to take a chance on. And you know, if we're hearing teams like the Astros and the Red Sox and you know, those teams and the Cubs are all watching his last start. Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle, I think, reported that. I'm looking at that thinking, well, the Jays aren't going to be able, if all those teams want him, the Blue Jays can't match up with a farm system, those teams will always be able to make a better deal. So I don't love them. I'm not going to feel badly for the Jays if they don't get them because I think somebody's going to overpay. And he could get hot, but I've seen him and have some questions about how he could sustain success for the long term right now, Sonny Gray. I'm not convinced he's healthy.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, I feel like we've had this conversation dozens of times, but they've got 13 games upcoming. Baltimore and Boston at home, three at Yankee Stadium, then at home for four against Houston, and Houston has been the outright best team in the American League this year. How important are the next 13 games from Shapiro and Atkins' perspective in terms of what they're going to do between now and the trade deadline?
Huge. Huge part of the schedule, no question. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. You got teams in the division who are in front of you. You've got the Astros, who are, you know, arguably the best team in the American League right now and maybe the best team in baseball. And I don't love their starting pitching depth, although they're going to get McCullers back, and they got him back, and they're going to get Keuchel back at some point. And you know, they may need to add a number three starter to be that sort of dynamic playoff team, and they can score a ton of runs. I think that it's not always who you play, it's when you play them. And the same can be said for those other teams, where the Jays need to be that team that's the tough matchup right now, because their timing is going to be important. This is the time to play their best baseball, not their worst, because it is an important part of the schedule, and it is a defining point going into the All-Star break about truly what are they going to be. Are they buyers? How aggressively can they buy? Are they buying just hoping to be the second wild card team in the mix? Because that's, you know, that's a whole other dynamic. You're going to buy to be the second wild card team, to beat out four other teams. You get a chance to play one game to be able to advance. It's not like you're buying and you're the first wild card team and you know you're in, or you're going to win the division, you know you're in, and you want to supplement to get ready for the playoffs. They're fighting to get in, and it makes you wonder how heavy a price they'll pay. But the same thing is this. It not only does it matter right now what the Blue Jays do, it matters what everybody else who's competing with them does as well. Somebody needs to separate, and for the Blue Jays and their fans, it would be nice if it were them before the All-Star break.
Thank you, Steve. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Baseball Insider, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln. Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Ray Ferraro coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get into this John McEnroe story on Serena Williams. Also, Brent Musburger circling back on his comments about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, Catherine Webb.
Has no regrets.
Absolutely no regrets.
Really? Good on him.
Less regrets than John McEnroe for his comments, and McEnroe has no regrets.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of old school guys who they're not going to apologize for what they had to say. So we're going to get into that as well. It's coming up later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes. Mark Mathot traded from Vegas to Dallas. They got a second rounder in 2020 and a goalie they took in the seventh round. Tell me Ottawa couldn't work out a better deal to keep him? Right when I heard that, I'm like, how much did Ottawa really value him?
Yeah,
compared to other players? It makes me really wonder, quite frankly.
Well, you wonder where they're heading, because even if Phaneuf's still on the market, you could lose Mathot and Phaneuf, and I don't know what Phaneuf would garner, but you're going to eat some of his salary.
Mm-hmm. Or take something significant in return in salary.
Take a contract back, yeah.
Mathot's, you know, there's probably analytics people out there that say this or that, but as far as, like, team chemistry, it's very important for a success of a team. He was a big...
Yeah, he was a big part of that.
He was a big part of it.
Well, and now, they've got a couple good young players. That Clayson's going to be a good player. They've got that Thomas Chabot, who played the World Juniors. By all accounts, he's almost ready. They had a kid named Ben Harper, who played really well down the stretch and got some time. Like, they've got depth there, but it's not... Unless Clayson can settle right in with Carlson, which he did play with him. I did some of the games, and he's a good skater. He's got upside offensively. Maybe they see that from a cheaper standpoint, have a young kid, Swedish kid, play with them. I don't know.
Well, they have to have a contingency plan, clearly.
Absolutely.
But will it make them a better team? I think that's up for debate at this point.
Correct.
We'll get into that with Ray, among some other things, including the idea of JVR. If he were to extend here in Toronto, what would the price tag have to be to make sense for the Leafs? We'll talk about that and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.